produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very much for that round of applause. Listen, this is the new year, 2023. You're tuned in to Love You're Making. I am Dr. B, your host, and I'm so happy to greet you this year. Listen, last year, 2022, our theme was new perspective on life, love, and leadership. This year, 2023, the Lord just dropped this today. Our theme is going to be love reasoning. Yeah, love reasoning, right? Listen, in your life, God wants to show up and show out in every relationship you have. He talked about how he wanted to strengthen marriages all over the world. And he believes that if marriages are strengthened, the church will be strengthened. That's my heart as well. And so we are going to take a deep dive into love reasoning so that we can strengthen right rewarding relationships, relationships that matter to God is the church. And the relationship that matters to us is our marriage relationships, our marriage with God, our marriage with each other, you know, our marriage to the vision that God has given us to live as leaders. So we're going to have sage conversations, leader to leader. We're going to take a deep dive again, as I said, into our love relationships. The Lord clearly says that he desires that we love like he loved, right? So thinking that's strange that the Holy Spirit is so ready to teach us how to love right. Are you ready? I'm ready. I am so ready. So grab your Bibles. I'm going to pray while you're getting your Bibles, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. We thank you, Father, for being so good to us, for being so merciful to us, for crossing us over from 2022 to 2023. We thank you for this platform, Josie's Inspirational Network, on the Finding My Way USA world. And Father, this ministry is reaching so many for your glory, and we thank you because we could not do it at all without you. We just couldn't. So we thank you for your help. We thank you for this, the Love You're Making broadcast with Dr. V. Yours truly. We thank you for just hollowing me out right now so the Holy Spirit can flow through me. So this word and this theme for this year, Love Reasoning, will get to the hearts of your leaders and strengthen them in every way so that the church that they lead will represent the kind of relationship you want to have with us. And it'll also, in particular, strengthen their marriages too. And the ones that are not married, listen, they'll be strengthened to where they're ready and prepared to be married. And those strengthened marriages are going to strengthen the church, strengthen community, strengthen the nation. So we just believe that, Father. So thank you for doing that for us, through us, and in spite of us. And it's in your Son Jesus' name that we praise you and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, I wanted you to grab your Bibles. A couple of scriptures we're going to lift up tonight. The first one is going to come from Proverbs chapter 4. Right? I'm going to read, let me see. I think I'm going to start at verse 1 and read down to verse 7. Hear ye, children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let that heart retain thy words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Then quickly turn over to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading from the 22nd to the 28th verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And then finally, our final scripture for our teaching today comes from John chapter 17, verse 17. John 17, 17. Go on there quickly. And it reads, oops, turning pages here. Here we got one more page. John 17, 17 says this, sanctify them through that truth. That word is truth. Hello. So Dr. B is going to be dropping some truth on you today, and I hope you're ready to receive it. Listen, we're going to have several mentors besides the scripture We're going to have several authors this year that I'm going to present as we talk about love reasoning and how the Lord wants to strengthen marriages so the church and the community, even our countries, might be strengthened. And so one of the books we're going to start out with is a devotional by leading authority on love and marriage, and that is Gary Chapman. He wrote the book, and the one I'm going to be using quite often is the 1 Year Love Language Minute Devotional by Gary Chapman. We're going to start out with that tonight as well. And then I have, listen, Dr. V got buku books on love and marriage. Why? Because I'm certainly like the woman at the well. I had had 5 marital relationships, and when the Lord really grew me up and matured me, the one I was with was not my husband, but now with an amazing man, 68, and who knew at 68 I'd find my soulmate and the love of my life, and we've been happily married. We celebrate our anniversary. In fact, this last week, we are married 1 full year, 365 days, 52 weeks. Ooh, and can I tell you, God has been blessing us as a couple. And so we're so grateful. And so you'll hear some of my own personal testimonies as we go forth. And I'm excited to share with you what God is doing in our love relationship. There's a lot of reasoning going on in this household, and we're grateful by the word of the Lord. And so as I use different guest lecturers, that's what I call my books, the guest lecturers, I'll let you know and announce that I'm sharing from that book. And of course, you'll know, you'll always know what I'm sharing from the scripture, and I'll let you know what I'm sharing from my own personal experience. Amen. So I had made my new graphic for the year. You'll see that. Those of you who tune in on the internet and you see my broadcast when it comes on, generally it comes on the third Thursdays that's there, but finding my way will let you know when the lineup is going to be. But my first, this month, the month of January, I'm going to pull an excerpt from the book that I'm writing, and my husband are now writing with me, Love Reasonings. And I started out on this particular chapter, chapter 8, where it says, my husband asks me often, babe, you feel me? Babe, you feel me? Learning to connect for understanding heart matters to strengthen right, rewarding relationships. Communication is so key. Before I came on the broadcast tonight, I was reading some of the statistics of, particularly here in America, of the divorce rate. And sadly, the divorce rate in Christianity is almost mirroring the divorce rate in those that are non-Christian. However, the good news is the divorce rates are falling. The bad news is fewer people are opting to get married. More people are opting to cohabitate or not get married at all. And so that's declining the people who would get married. It's declining the divorce rate. But in people's marriages that are over the age of 50, guess what? That's increasing here in America. And so supposedly seasoned mature leaders in our churches, pastors and ministers over the age of 50, you would think that, listen, they've been in the game, got skin in the game long enough, they won't throw in the towel, but they do on an increasing level. And so we're going to address some of that as we go through the year and try to strengthen that and cause those numbers to fall by sharing the truth. And like the last scripture said, John 17:17, sanctify them with thy truth, thy word is truth. So we want you to be encouraged by the truth. And the truth simply is that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And so our marriages can be strengthened. And so if you look at the word very carefully on our promo, love reason, sunning. Well, reasoning, I have a hard time saying it, but I spelled it most definitely right. That S-O-N in the middle of that It is the life of Christ that we're going to glean from in terms of his relationship with the Father and who he came to preach in the kingdom. And we know that the church is a part of the kingdom. The church is the conduit that the Lord wants to show his love strong. And so we're going to just rely on those teachings quite a bit. But again, tonight I said I was going to, and this month I said I was going to just open us up with a communication from Gary Chapman in his book, Love, Language, and the Minute. So when my husband said, and I asked him just before the broadcast, honey, what do you mean when you say you feel me? And my husband told me quickly, without any hesitation, you know, I want you to know, babe, that what I'm getting ready to share with you, or what I'm sharing with you, is serious. It's important to me. And I want to know if we're on the same page. I want to know, do you understand? I want to know if I'm connecting with you. And so Gary Chapman's teachings have a whole lot to do with us connecting and us communicating. In his very first, in the January 1 in his devotional, he writes this, communicating love. Three things will last forever, he says, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Let love be your highest goal, 1 Corinthians 13:13-14:1. He says this, after 30 years of counseling couples, I'm convinced there are five different ways to speak and understand emotional love. Five love languages. Each of us has a primary love language. One of the five speaks to us more profoundly than the other four. Seldom do a husband and wife have the same love language. We tend to speak our own language, and as a result, we completely miss each other. Oh, we're sincere. We're even expressing love, but we're not connecting emotionally. Sound familiar? Love doesn't need to diminish over time. The end of the famous love chapter of the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13 says that love is of great value and will last forever. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that love should be our highest goal. But if you're going to keep love alive, you need to learn a new language. That takes discipline and it takes practice. But the reward is lasting, deeply committed relationship. Then he goes on to pray this, and I love this prayer. Lord, thank you for creating each of us so differently. Keep me from assuming that my partner thinks and feels, come on, that word again, the way I do. Please give me the patience to find out how I can most effectively communicate love to my spouse. My take on that is I write in my book, Love Reasoning, that statement that my husband often asks me, babe, you feel me? In relationships, people want to feel a connection. They want to see a connection, but they want to feel it emotionally. They want to know deep down in their core being, you got me. You understand me. You know, the Bible says, get wisdom, but in all you're getting what? Get understanding. And so that it's more than just a strong suggestion that the Bible tells us how connected Christ wants us to be in our relationships. When it tells the husband, love your wife as you love your own body. Come on, each of you right now as you're listening, hold your hands together, clasp them together. You feel that other hand? Your left hand feels the right hand? Come on, put it over your heart. Can you feel your heart beat? Come on, put your hands over both ears. Does the sound change? Huh? Put your hands on your knees and gotta go, listen, these 50-year-old knees, you know, that kind of thing. Let me break that up for a second. I want you to understand that feeling is important in our communication. I want you to understand while I'm trying to connect with you, I'm speaking to you from my heart. I want you to feel what I feel, see what I see, at least try to understand it. And so when we want our marriages to last, and when we want them to strengthen, and when the church gets strengthened from the fact that we are, you know, we are reasoning together, to be closer together, to understand what's important. Over my 30 plus years of ministering as a leader and as a Christian counselor, trust me, I've learned from my own failures, but I've also learned from helping other customers, other Christian clients in my counseling ministry. I wanted them to learn how to reach out and touch each other. We start with the holding of the hands. We start with filling each other's heart. Then we start with the communication that reaches each other's heart. Right? And so that is so important for us to understand that when we strengthen our lines of communication to where we can feel that we're being heard, that we're being felt, that we're being cared for, then our love language becomes important to each other. And it can't do anything but strengthen what God has already put together. A lot of times when we say I do, we'd like to think that we say I do forever and ever. My statement when I got married recently, it was, listen, I want to do a couple of forevers with you. And my pastor, when I was young, 28 years old, and, you know, had already been divorced, got married around 20, already divorced before I was 25. And at 28, getting ready to get married for the second time, my pastor at that time told me, he says, Verlene, if you don't love your husband more today than you did yesterday, you love him less. It took me years and years and years to understand what that really meant and what I had to do, my responsibility in making sure that I love my husband more today than I did yesterday. Can I tell you now, at 68, I got a good understanding, a real good understanding, and more day by day, how I demonstrate that understanding. When my husband asked me, babe, you feel me? I said, yes, I feel you, honey. Or if I'm not at that time, I said, baby, keep talking. Let's keep talking because I'm not there yet. I get the liberty to be honest and truthful that I'm not there yet, but I want to be there. So help me. Help me. How many times have I counseled couples on the way to divorce court? And the first thing that they would tell me, where is the breakdown? The breakdown is he or she doesn't feel me. I don't want a pastor when I come home. I don't want a minister when I come home. I want a wife or a husband. I want a husband or a wife. And they want to be felt. They want to know that what they're feeling on the inside is important to their mate. And so we go through those rituals of touching and feeling, touching in word, touching in flesh, touching in the spirit, you know, all those things. We just don't neglect that. We're going to spend some time on this topic. We're not going to rush through it, but I want you to think about this, pastor, apostle, teacher, evangelist, whatever leader that you are. If you're married or you're thinking about getting married and you're in a relationship, either headed toward a marriage, in a marriage, and kind of getting exhausted with it because you're not feeling one another, teaching one another, holding one another, communicating with one another, or you're on your way to the divorce court and you want one last try to get it right. That energy that we bring before others as we lead is felt energy. You've got marriages out there in your congregations on the brink of divorce because they have failed to feel each other, is that for the like of it. And so we want to spend some time as we have these leader to leader Sage Cup conversations. It's important to me that I, in this year 2023, help you to strengthen your marriages. so that you can become the leader that you really want to be in a church that so needs your relationships to be right, rewarding relationships. So in need of God using you to be an example of what he's looking for in his relationship with the church. Christ said, the word says that Christ gave himself for the church. And husbands, spouses, I want to encourage you to give yourself to your spouse to the degree that they feel you. Can we do that? I want us to do that. I think we can do that. And so let's deep dive into that this year in Love You Making with Dr. V into our love reasonings, okay? So next month when we come, we're going to draw this out a little bit more. I'm going to give you some practical tips and some examples. I just wanted to introduce it to you tonight. And then I want to pray with you now about the present state of your marriage or your relationship and how that impacts you and will impact you as a leader as you allow the Lord to just come in by his Spirit and strengthen those things that remain that are ready to die, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. We thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for being so merciful. We thank you, Father God, that our marriages are so important to you, that you took some time out to put in scripture, you know, ways that we are to relate to each other, communicate with each other, give ourselves to each other that's there. And Father, we thank you for these words. Let us go deeper into them and then let us trust you to help us to make those things stronger that will make us more one as you desire for us to be one. That is what is going to be important to us this year, Father God. You've already told us that you will perfect those things that we're concerned about, that you're full of mercy and you will not forsake the work of your hands in our lives and particularly in our marriages. And so to strengthen the leaders in their marriages so the church might benefit from it, the kingdom might be advanced because of it. We thank you, Father, because we come believing that good work that you started in us, you're faithful to complete it. And so we surrender all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I look forward to seeing you on, listening to you and having you to listen to me on next month in February, the love month, right? Yes, we're going to take a deeper dive into love reasons on next one. God bless you. And remember, God loves you and I do.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, hello. This is Vanita DeRees with Create Your Own You. And as I always say, be you and not be you and just you. And don't let other people expect you to be someone else. You have to always be true to yourself at all times. Remember, people are always going to suggest something that they think is best for your life. But as a person and as an individual, you know yourself, so you know what's best for you and your family. So today, I have my sister on the line, Mrs. Sadil Tanae Lloyd. Hey!
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing extremely well, extremely well. So as everybody knows, this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I had the opportunity to talk with my sister who was diagnosed with breast cancer about a year and a half ago, a little over a year and a half, right?
Yeah, actually it was around February of last year, 2018.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Okay, so, and as everybody recalls, my last segment, I did a topic of domestic violence with Regina Keenan. And with speaking on domestic violence, I'm going to just touch back on that briefly because I want people to understand how serious domestic violence is. And if you're in that situation and you feel like you don't have no one to go to, there is always somebody to reach out to, whether that's a church, whether it's a shelter, whether it's an aunt or uncle. Because a lot of, I know it's like a secretive thing and you don't want your family members to know that you are being hit on or abused at home, whether that's male or female, because it happens more often with females, but the men are increasing being verbally abused and beaten by women too. So the message from that last series that we had, we just wanted to, you know, make sure people are aware that they can get help and that there is an opportunity to continue your life after getting out your domestic violence situation. Every day you above ground and breathing, you have an opportunity to live your best life. So we're going to get into this week's, we are going to get into the breast cancer awareness. Everybody knows, especially in the U.S., I know this is worldwide, but I'm pretty sure Breast Cancer Awareness Month is in October. And also in October, like I said, we have Domestic Violence Month, we have Bully Awareness, we have Mental Health Month, Awareness Month. So there's a lot of awareness going on in October. And we want to make sure people understand and where to reach out to get the help that they may need for any of those situations. If you don't know where to seek help from, just, you know, get online and just Google something in your area and see what is in your area to get assistance to help you with your situation that you are going through. So, Miss Deal, how you doing? How's everything?
I'm doing really, really well today. I hope you are.
I am doing good. I am doing good here. So like you were saying before, you were diagnosed back in February of 18. And as I was doing my research, you know, I did some research just before I started, you know, when I reached out to you. I said, let me do a little bit of research on breast cancer because it's not something that directly affects me, but my family members, you know. So I said, let me do some research. So what I have came across in which you are going, you know, you've been through what I'm about to say. The Mayo Clinic, I was reading a report from the Mayo Clinic, and the overview for breast cancer is a form of, you know, a form of breast cancer. It says after skin cancer, breast cancer is the most common cancer diagnosed in women in the United States.
Absolutely.
You know, because I know before the breast cancer, you had the skin cancer.
Absolutely.
So when were you diagnosed with that? Yeah, I was like, when were you
diagnosed with my first melanoma? Was stage zero or in situ, as they call it. I was diagnosed with that around March of 2017. So these came within a year of each other. I had, and initially they thought that one led to the other, and that wasn't the case. This melanoma was in 2017, yeah, around March, I think.
Okay. Because I just thought that when I was reading it, I was like, huh? She had skin cancer previous to the breast cancer. I was like, okay, is this something related? Because I've never actually, you know, even thought in terms of that, you know, that it can follow after skin cancer.
Yeah,
because
I
know
still get
another
checked for the things with the melanoma too. I still get checked for both.
Okay.
Right now, so.
Mm-hmm. So okay, let's speak about the skin cancer real briefly. So with the skin cancer, what exactly? How did you find out that it was skin cancer? How did you, you know, what was the process for that?
I went to my doctor for a physical, and she noticed that I had some darkened moles, and to me they looked normal because I've always had them. But she said they're darker than they needed to be and that I needed to go to the dermatologist. So I got a referral, and I began my journey with my now dermatologist who I see on a regular basis. When I went to her, she would check. They do full body checks, And they look even in your hair and in your feet to see if there are any darkened moles. And she found some, and one of them was abnormal, but the other actually was cancerous. And like I said, it was stage zero, so they had to operate. But the process is, you know, you get your referral, always get checked. We, a lot of times as African Americans, don't think that we would be affected by melanoma and different skin cancers, that we think that we are totally out of that. And we're not. We're not, especially if we have heritage of various races and cultures, everything in our background. That's, you know, it's inherent. So that was
right. Then they say, you know, they say actually, I was also reading that white women and black women are diagnosed pretty much at the same rate, but black women are dying more often than white women. And like you said, I think that's more so. A lot of times I think when we find out, we go into denial. And we go into denial and thinking that we can possibly, you know, leave it up to God and, you know, say, you know, cure me, which, you know, prayer and everything is good. But on the other hand, we sit and we wait. And then once it gets too late, we go. Or we just don't have the medical treatment or the medical insurance to even cover our costs. And I know that was one of the things that you were dealing with when you were going through your breast cancer was the medical cost end of it.
It's a lot. So, a lot goes into it, yeah. You're right.
I don't think people understand all the what everything goes into, especially the money piece. A lot of people, you know, I think on, especially African Americans, like, if you don't have that $750 co-payment, what do you do? How do you get it? Do you just not get services? Or, you know, that's just one of them. Like, some people just don't have a bank account. Okay, my co-pay is $1,500.
Right.
They don't have that, you know. And I think that's some of the reasons why our rate is higher.
Absolutely. But one thing I want to say about that, and kind of shifting a little bit with the at least with the breast cancer piece, I didn't realize how many resources were out there either. And that was one of the things that I didn't know, that when you're going through treatment that they may be able to give you gas money. They may be able to give you assistance in your home while you're recovering, someone to come in and help you clean. They may be able to do – there's a lot of resources, some more financial – some more in just the basic needs of when you're going through treatment. But all of them, you know, people need to research. Don't just assume that there's nothing out there for them.
Right. So how did you find out, you know, particularly about these resources? Did someone tell you about it? Did your doctor inform you? How did you go about finding those resources?
When I found my resources, after I was diagnosed, initially, well, kind of going back, in January of last year, I noticed a lump under my arm, and I went for my physical, and she went through the process, and I don't know how much you want me to go into that, but, you know, she sent me.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, but it ended up pushing me through all the doctors. So I started out with the doctors, and we have a cancer facility. We actually have two cancer facilities where I live here in North Carolina. So that's where they were able to tell me. They sit you down, and they give you the rundown of the resource, and they give you pamphlets and different books to read over, and they encourage you to go on different websites. So they really, you know, almost overwhelm you with resources. And I know everybody is, you know, their city is not like that, but, you know, there are certain areas that we don't even realize the resources that are there. If they ask a hospital, ask their physician, ask their children's physician if they don't have a doctor of their own, there sometimes are resources that are untapped in their areas.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know, because I know a lot of people, you know, they may not, you know, question or talk to counselors or anything like that to get that information, because we just sit back and just say, okay, the doctor told me this, but they don't ask no question. That's for any type of ailment that you may have. It could be breast cancer. It could be heart disease. It can be liver. It could be anything. And people just take it upon themselves to just say, okay, the doctor said this, and not do their own type of research on how to get some funding for them, or how to get transportation, like you said, or how to get, you know, gas for your own car. And that's a really good thing to know, that there are resources out there, and each person should look in their state to see what they offer and get that information from their doctor or whoever is doing their primary care for whatever ailment that they may have. So I was looking at, like I said, I was researching some more statistics because I needed to know a little bit more myself. I mean, you know, every month you do your breast exam, you know.
Right.
And if you're not doing your own breast exam, ladies and men, please do so.
Absolutely.
That's very important to early detection. As like you said, I think you said you were in the shower.
And actually, I noticed, I wasn't in the shower, but I noticed it under my arm. And, mm-hmm. and that was really where it all started.
Yeah, so we need to pay attention to our bodies. I mean, you should know your body
know your
in and
body.
Out.
Love
scars, bruises, everything. So mm-hmm. anything that differs, especially as we get older, we definitely need to pay more attention. But, you know, a lot of people, they also, you know, assume just breast cancer is just breast cancer. There are several different types of breast cancer.
Yeah.
Which type did you say you had?
Well, see, my journey's a little strange.
Okay.
Because I was not originally diagnosed with breast cancer. I was originally diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma, because that was mine is one where they've never found any nodes or anything. They found things in my lymph nodes, but they never found anything in my breast. That resulted in a lot of different testing. My knowledge of what I have comes through molecular testing and genetic testing, not because they found anything. So actually what I was diagnosed with was metaplastic breast adenocarcinoma.
Okay.
That was through the molecular testing. But like I said,
now, is there a stage? What stage is that considered?
I'm actually in stage 3.
Okay.
And that's because it had moved to my lymph nodes. That's what makes it stage 3. When it moves, when it shifts, it becomes stage 3.
Now, I know you said you did genetic testing. Did you find out through that testing that it was hereditary?
Well, no. Okay, yeah. Well, actually, yes, with the genetic testing, but I found out it wasn't from my mother, so we only had to assume that again, my journey is a little strange. So
a little different, right?
Let me just do a little brief thing. So when I found out that I had because it's going to be hard otherwise. When I found out that I had there was something strange in my lymph nodes, and I was sent, and of course they go through the whole thing of the ultrasound, biopsy, and then they give you that initial diagnosis. The thing about this type with this cancer, even though it may change throughout the process, if you're initially diagnosed with squamous cell, that's what they continue to say. And so my process, they had to do MRIs, they had to do PET scans, they had to do several different types of testing to figure out what's going on, because they never found anything. There was no lumps. There was no, in my breast, there was nothing showing. And so I had to have molecular testing. I had to have genetic testing. The molecular testing is what showed the metaplastic breast adenocarcinoma. But then going from there, I learned that I was HER2 positive, and that is indicative to the breast. So then went from there and did the genetic testing, which showed the BRCA2 gene. And that's what showed even more that I was predisposed to breast and ovarian cancer.
Okay.
So that's where we got a little bit more into that as far as the genetic and finding out. Because my father was adopted, we had no history. And that's one of our other big issues that we didn't, because there was nothing in my mother's family. No one had ever had cancer. So it didn't make sense to any of my family members that I had it. I'm the first.
Right, and you know, I've known you, you know,
we've
known each other, you know,
all
in all, right, you know, we've known each other forever, so it's like, where did this come from? Because it's never been spoken upon in the family, so it's like exactly, you know, it goes back to also, you know, because my grandmother died, I want to say, colon cancer. Yeah, I want to say it was colon cancer. And it was real strange because we were thinking that she died at 56, I believe it was. And, you know, we were thinking the same, like, okay, how did this happen? Like, nobody had no clue. It didn't come from nowhere. And, you know, she didn't drink. She didn't smoke. She wasn't somebody that partied or do anything. She was a housewife that raised her kids. And I think it was just devastating because we were like, because that was the first time of me ever hearing of cancer when I was like 11 or 13, somewhere around there. And I was like, what is that, huh? What? You know, so it was like, how did that happen? How did it not? And that experience, because she ended up, which I never really told anybody this story, but when she ended up going through her cancer and everything like that, she came to stay with us for a brief moment. And she pretty much stayed with us. My mom took her out the hospital for her to stay with us. And it's ironic because, like, I was the one to find her on my bedroom floor. She was trying to get to me, and I heard something fall. So when I heard, you know, I heard the big thump, I'm like, oh, God, that's, you know, I think I was 13. I believe I was 13. And I was never like, what am I supposed to do with this situation? My mom was gone. It was the first time ever since my grandmother was sick that my mom left her side. The first time.
Wow.
And this was, the first time. All this time she was at the hospital. She was at home. If she wasn't working, she was, you know, at our house, you know, at home taking care of her mother. So, you know, the first time she left, so I was like, okay, she's like, you know, my grandmother was still alert and everything. And she's like, okay, call the paramedics. And she told me right then and there, she's like, Dee Dee, I'm not coming back. I'm just letting you know that. So as a 13-year-old, you're looking like, oh, wow. What do you mean you're not coming back? I'll see you tomorrow. Or I'll see you in a couple of days or whatever, right? So you'll be back sleeping in your room. So my, you know, and that's probably a lot of people say I'm very standoffish or I'm very hardcore, but that's from that, because that lady right there was my heart. So I kind of don't let people get close to me for that simple reason. So most people don't know that about me. So then, you know, my mom, you know, she was at the hospital for the past couple of days, and then my mom went out 4th of July. You know, her mother told her, you know what, go out, enjoy yourself. It's a holiday. And my mom was only gone for a couple hours from the hospital. Again, I get the call that she passed away.
Wow.
Right. I get the call. I'm at home. So then, you know, I'm like, okay, got to, you know, call my mother and tell her, which was a whole nother situation. So that colon cancer, it just didn't resonate in our family. We still right now don't know. It's not genetic or anything like that. So we definitely have to be aware of our family backgrounds to see if we are, you know, have any of those, you know, have that in our family. So
but you have to also consider, too, with even with your grandmother, it's not just it's her mother and her father's side. That was
right.
About
and if
both
you don't
sides, you don't know.
And I don't know. That's the thing about it. I don't know. You know, it's one of those situations like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you a couple of other questions real quick because, you know, I told you time would go by fast here. I told you that. So, I know you have a great support system. You have your, you know, your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brothers, your husband, and your kids, and your best friends, and us. You know, you have a great support system. What would you say for someone who don't have a support system? What do you think they should do? Where they should go to seek out, you know, some type of support for them going through their treatment process?
Honestly, that's one of the things I was saying about looking into the resources, especially in area resources. Whether it be churches, there's always churches or local programs. There's always programs somewhere discussing cancer, especially breast cancer right about now. Looking into some of those resources, people have things all over the internet about what they're offering, just waiting for someone to take advantage of something. And you really just want to look into whatever resources are available and try to reconnect with people that you haven't had a relationship with. Build up your base. You need to have someone around you because this is no joke. Going through this, it was hard with a village. I couldn't imagine going through it alone. So, you know, find a connection, whether it be some people at work, be brave, have some courageous conversations with people, try to see who may be going through something something similar, even if it's not similar. Your connections don't have to be someone who's going through the exact same thing. Just maybe someone who can sit with you, talk with you, share with you, help you to your appointment.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, let me ask for, like, you know, your mother, your wife, you know, for the mothers that's out there, how did you choose to share your diagnosis with your kids?
That was an interesting one. My husband and I sat, well, not really interesting. My kids are so aware. They know when things are not okay. So we met with the kids, and we have 5 children. So my husband and I sat down and talked to them, and we shared with them. We didn't try to scare them, but at the same time, we were honest. I let them know what I was going through and what they discovered. I let them ask questions. I shared that the doctor said that there's something in me called cancer, that I'm going to have to go through treatment. I'm going to lose my hair. And my youngest daughter she actually had seen some TV show. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a show where a little girl is going through cancer, and her best friend cuts her hair with her. And she said, "Mommy, do you want me to cut my hair with you when you go through treatment?" It became a beautiful experience. It was emotional, but we just were really honest. But we also considered their ages. It was easier for some of our kids who were almost adults at that time than it was for our younger kids. But you consider your kids, you know your children, but you have to be honest because they have to know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. What was some of your, as a mother and a wife, what were some of your biggest challenges in going through your cancer treatment?
I needed more help. And I hated that. I had to give up some of that power. And actually, my husband and I sat down with the kids, and we said, "You guys are going to have to step up." I went through chemo from May to November, and I was sick a lot of the time. I was in pain. I was tired. Then went through radiation. I was tired. They had to step up. It kind of, they became the young teenagers and adults that we knew that they could become. They just had to show what family was about, and that was how we encouraged it. That was the hard thing. But to relent that, to give that up and say, "My power's going, I've got to allow somebody to take care of me," the most important.
Right, which I seen when I was with you a couple weeks ago when I came down to visit. how you just don't want to give up that power, boy.
I hate it.
Like, sit your butt down, Corey. Did your doctor say, "Don't move"? You just
but
told
you
me your doctor
think,
said.
This thing changes your role. It changes the roles of your family. It takes you from being the person that they can depend on to the person who needs to depend on them, and that is not the natural progression, so it's not easy.
Right. And I know, like I said, it's like, you don't sit your butt down somewhere.
Hate it.
It's like, like you were saying, your sorrows wanted to bring you dinner and bring you to do food, cook for your family, and you kept telling them no and no and no. And, when I was there that weekend, it was like a finally, yes, somebody bring me some food, So
right.
You kind of like.
I need the help. I need
right.
It.
And sometimes you just, like I told you when I was down there, you just got to accept it right now. It's not something permanent, but, right now you need the help. So when people are offering the help, because you're still going through, your cancer you done had a couple of surgeries done in the past few weeks also, so you're still going to continue probably to need that help for a little while longer. So like I said, don't do too much, still relax.
I'm trying.
I know it's hard.
It's not natural. That's especially when you're a mother. It's hardest when that's your role. That's how you identify yourself. So when it changes, it's just hard. It's hard.
Right, and I know you do everything for the kids, from taking them, from taking them to football, to dance, to cheer, to, so you're in the role that you play in the community, too. So you do a lot in the community. You do a lot for your family. So that right there is totally understandable how, now you have to ask for help, or you need to get the kids to step up a little bit more. Your mom need to, come and help you out, or, things of that nature, where before it was just automatically, you just got up. You would run from 6 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night. without no problem.
That was my, that's it. All day long. That's what we did.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's exactly it.
So I told you this interview was going to go by fast. I appreciate you. I love you to death, and you know that.
I love you, love you, love
you. And you know I will be back down there at the end of February to see you, of course. As you see, I'm coming to see you a little bit more because you always come home to see us. So I'm coming to see you. I haven't been down there, what, 3 times in the past year? So
I love it.
So I will be back in February to see you. It is my birthday weekend, just to let you know. I like I said, I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you for coming on the show, the Create Your Own You show, to, you know, tell your experience and give hope to people who feel like they don't have hope right now.
Absolutely.
Again, this is Mrs. Sadil. Oh, you're welcome. This is Mrs. Sadil Tanae Loy out of North Carolina. I want to say peace and blessings to everyone. And like I said, continue to create yourself to be the best you can. Live your life to the fullest. I live mine like a rock star. Have a great one. Thanks a lot.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.